Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Be in the Know, an ESSEC podcast bringing you the research and insight of ESSEC professors. I'm Julia Smith, the editor-in-chief of ESSEC Knowledge, and today I'm talking to Puyan Kashabi, a professor of management, about his recent research studying if and when performance bonuses actually work. So thank you for coming today, Puyan. Can you tell us a little bit of background about this project?
Yes, thank you for having me. So this is a project that we had about the effectiveness of pay for performance, and we wanted to have field data, real data from the field. We wanted to run an experiment. Our sample and the background is that about a firm, a bakery chain, that approached my co-authors when they had financial trouble because of new entrants to the industry. And their sales obviously came down, and they wanted to find strategic ways to incentivize their employees to work harder and faster. And that was the time that they decided to kind of offer them to run an experiment within their chain. So this is basically a German bakery. The firm operates a network of like 193 bakery shops, and we actually asked them to assign pay for performance to half of these shops and do nothing with the rest of them as the control group. And then we measured the effectiveness and performance and sales of these shops. This is interesting because then we looked at the competitive environment of these bakery chains, and then we looked in which type of competitive environments the pay for performance was more effective and which one wasn't. And again, I think this is interesting because although pay for performance is one of the most commonly used management practices, most of the vast literature which studies its effectiveness look at internal factors or factors that are internal to organization. And most of the time there's not much work done on the external factors. So we thought this is interesting to look at how an external factor here, which is the market competition, shapes the effectiveness of this very common managerial practice.
Yeah, it's a really interesting way to look at it because it is thinking outside the box a little bit, maybe something that doesn't necessarily come to mind when people are implementing these schemes. And so can you tell us how exactly does the presence of external competitors impact pay for performance effectiveness?
Sure. So we thought about, we theorized two mechanisms here. One is what we call the residual market effect, or it's also been called business stealing effects. And that is when people are motivated to exert extra effort because of in hope of getting bonus or something, they will consider how much extra market they can gain from or they can win from their competitors. Mm-hmm. If the competition is a lot, you have a lot of market to win, and people are more motivated. But in the extreme opposite, if you are the monopolist or you don't have any other competitors, you are already serving the entire market. So if you design a pay for performance scheme to your employees, they might think that even if I work harder and faster, there's not going to be much impact because I already have the entire market. So through this mechanism, more competition means more effectiveness of performance pay. There is another mechanism which works in the opposite direction, and that is what we call competitor response effect. And that is if the competition is fierce, competitors are closer, the margins are smaller, all the rivals are closer to bankruptcy. So in this fierce competition, once your employees do a competitive action, say here, work harder in response to a pay for performance scheme, competitors are more likely to retaliate or to do reactive actions to offset your competitive actions. And they might actually neutralize your employees' effort. So through this mechanism, more competition means less effectiveness of performance pay. So we have these two counteracting mechanisms. And as you say, something that I think is very important is that we already know that under some circumstances, under some good initial factors, performance pay schemes work. But they work to increase the operational performance. But what most companies care is the market performance. And these may not translate well into each other. So in some situations, your employees might work harder and exert more effort, but this might just not be translated to market performance.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And so when you were measuring effectiveness, could you tell us a bit about how exactly you measured it and how did your results look like for your measures of effectiveness?
Yes, sure. So we looked at two measures. One was like if people actually reacted to the introduction of performance pay schemes. And also at the shop level, we looked at how the sales increased compared to the same month in the previous year. And mm-hmm. So we looked at the sales per shop for this chain, and also we looked at if people reacted to the introduction of performance pay. Because, you know, sometimes people, you may introduce an incentive scheme, but people might expect that their efforts will not translate into any bonus, so they may not react to this scheme. Mm-hmm. And what we found was that, interestingly, performance pay has the highest impact in moderate competition environments, 3 or 4 other bakeries. So for every bakery every shop in our focal firm, we went and collected information of their rivals in 1 kilometer distance, and we counted the number, and we also visited them, and we collected information about them. And we showed that in the paper, there is a curvilinear, inverted U-shaped relationship between number of competitors and the effectiveness of performance pay. So the effectiveness initially rises, but then it declines.
Interesting. So can you sum up the conditions in which pay for performance, so these performance bonus compensation schemes, when they're most beneficial?
Yes, sure. There are many conditions, of course, and a lot of researchers and scholars have summarized a lot of factors which are internal to organization. But what mm-hmm. I can tell you about the conditions coming out of this research mm-hmm. is the external factors related to market competition. First of all, I think this paper shows that the one-type-fits-all kind of compensation strategy does not work. If you want to design your performance pay, especially in context like retail, that there are the market, basically you care about market performance, not operational performance, then it's important to consider and factor in your competitive environment. The way you can do it is to look at the local competition level of your market. Probably if the market has a lot of competition, the competition is fierce, probably performance pay is not sufficient to motivate your employees to exert high effort, because they're going to be discouraged by competition and potential reaction by the competitors. On the other hand, if you are a monopolist or the competition is, there's not much competition and you are serving a big part of the market, performance pay is not going to be able to motivate your employees to exert extra effort, because simply they think that they will not be able to win extra market or much extra market, so their effort will not be translated into bonus. So this is going to be, so the sweet spot is somewhere in between, and moderate competition is going to be the right condition to introduce performance pay schemes that motivate employees. The last thing I want to mention is this. So most of the time when you introduce performance pay schemes, you need to have like milestones or objectives. And the way you define them is important. So sometimes companies may have operational milestones. So if you have a typist, you can ask them to type, I don't know, whatever number of pages per hour. Or if you have a worker, you can ask your worker mm-hmm. to make like whatever number of piece of tools per hour. But if you want to put market level milestones and objectives, then you should really consider the competitive environment, because we might have cases that your employees are actually exerting extra effort, but their extra effort is totally being offset, or it's not effective in increasing the sales, mm-hmm. and it does not translate into market performance.
Okay, thank you. And to sort of get a bit deeper into that, what advice would you give a manager who is considering implementing a pay-for-performance scheme?
Okay, this is, I will tell you, and I think that it needs, and I will conclude with probably future research. Mm-hmm. So when we say that one-type-fits-all does not work in compensation, it has one implication, that probably you need different compensation schemes for different, say, competitive environments. If you have shops that are operating in city center, in the airport, in less competitive environments, probably you should adjust your compensation strategy and bonus strategy mm-hmm. with respect to all of these locations. So that is a simple way to think about our results, but Then, of course, once you introduce different compensation strategies, there might be other problems arising. So social comparison problem might arise. So if you offer performance pay and bonus to a group of your employees in one geographical location and do not have offered some others in another competitive environment, people might not like this because they compare to each other. And that is something also that should be taken into account. If you do not have potential problem with social comparisons, then I think that you can offer performance pay in moderate competitions, and probably offering them in fierce or low competition is not going to be effective. Of course, if you are kind of an environment that people are always like in touch and they interact and they communicate and they compare to themselves and their contracts to each other, then you should kind of think more deep about this.
Okay, thank you so much. It's really interesting, and it just shows that there's a lot to consider when you're implementing performance bonus compensation schemes, and that it just shows the importance of, as I believe you say in the paper, looking outside the window and taking into account the role of competitors in the effectiveness of this kind of scheme. So before we sign off today, is there anything else that you would like to add about this research?
Well, I mean, thank you very much for the kind words. I think that one thing I want to add is not necessarily only about this research, but about this line of work. I think that human capital is the most valuable part of organizations. And in the past, we were in a situation that when machines were introduced, more and more machines were doing the job. And now that we are back to knowledge economy, we are back into a situation that more and more human capital are becoming more important for companies and their performance. But this tells us something, that people are more complicated than machines. And that is why we need more kind of rigorous and more precise research to understand how to motivate them. And this kind of is one step in a successful human capital strategy of a company. Well, good hiring, good motivation, and good retention are the key. And this tells us only one condition of a successful human capital strategy. And I think that I would conclude with this, that probably we need much more rigorous research about this topic. I think field experiments that are becoming more and more prevalent in our field are interesting tools to give us more insights into this topic.
Yeah, thank you so much. Humans are more complicated than machines. I like that. So thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your insight and sharing your research. And I look forward to reading more of your work.
Thank you for having me, Julia.
Okay. See you next time, everyone.